Jeremy, thank you, and we appreciate all of you being here tonight. You know, too often people say they will follow Jesus, and we sing about it a lot, but too often we fail to do just that. And actually, we live our lives in what we call isolation. Have you ever known people that really were loners? We always say they just kind of wanted to be by themselves. They didn't say much. They didn't speak at all. Unless they treated you like Big John. They just said hi, and that was it. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? Because when you think about the church and the economy of the body of Christ, we understand that we are to be together. There should be a fellowship, a koinonia is the word given in the Greek language. It means there is an intermingling of those of like precious faith, that we are together and that we love God and that we love one another. You know, when you isolate yourself, there is no way that you grow to love one another as God wants us to be bonded together, loving each other. We sing that old hymn, "Blessed be the tie that binds us." And the tie is love itself. And you've heard the old expression that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, that may be true in some cases, but absence makes the heart wander. And people stray away from God, and they become those isolationists, and they live actually by themselves. There are a lot of things in life that make us lonely and make us want to be an isolationist. And for that, I want us to talk tonight about how God can bring the sunshine into our life and dispel the rain or the cloudy days. There are a lot of reasons why people are in isolation, and one of these may hit you tonight. Maybe you're depressed. We have a lot of people that are depressed in today's world for some reason or another. And depression is a terrible, terrible thing. There are more people today that are on mind-altering drugs and actually medication for what we call deep, dark depression than ever, ever before. Maybe tonight you may be grieving about something. Maybe you lost a loved one. You lost a family member or a dear friend, and you're grieving, maybe grieving over broken relationships. Maybe you could be someone who might be hurt in some way or another. Someone hurt your feelings. Someone said something that bothered you, and it just keeps lingering in your mind, and you felt the best thing to do is just get away from that person. But that's not what the Bible actually teaches. Maybe you have social anxiety, and I guess that probably is a cop-out for a lot of people. I don't like to be around people. People bother me. I've heard people say, I don't like big crowds. But those same people who will complain about going down to the house of worship to glorify God will head out to the Super Bowl or to a ball game somewhere where there are thousands of people. And so, but maybe you don't like social interaction. We hear a lot today about social media and all the things that people do and what they put on Facebook and all those kinds of things. And sometimes people use that instead of taking the opportunity to really be in fellowship with one another. Maybe you're a highly sensitive person. Maybe someone could say something and just a few words could set you off. Or just a few words might offend you in some way or another. You're just highly sensitive. And maybe you have low self-esteem or confidence in yourself. Well, God doesn't want you to live that way. Maybe you're experiencing some kind of introvert burnout. I've known a lot of preachers in my time who really were introverts, believe it or not. Now, why they'd be preaching the gospel, I don't know. Some people feel that they're just very content to sit in the church office and never get out among the people, never go down to the hospital to visit the sick, never set up studies with people who are not Christians and helping, as Charles mentioned a moment ago, to lead them to the Christ that has saved us. So there are a lot of reasons that we have in our own mind for justification of our isolation. Many of God's servants experienced isolation in the Old and even in the New Testament. I had a fellow tell me not long ago, and I put this up there, but it's so true. I can count my friends on one hand. Well, hopefully you can do better than that tonight. Hopefully you have a lot of friends. You know, the Bible says if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. And I'm convinced of that. You want a lot of friends? Go out and be a friend. Don't wait for someone to come to you. You be the initiator and go out and do that. You know, the Beatles sang a song several years ago entitled All the Lonely People, Where Do They Come From? You know, where do these people come from? And that's a question that God is asking us. Just where do they come from? They come from all walks of life. You know, I like to watch people. I like to go to the mall sometime and just observe people. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes the way they walk gives you an insight a little bit to who they are. The way they carry themselves, if they carry themselves with great confidence, or do they carry themselves with shrugged shoulders and bent over as if they've lost their last friend. Some people try to make the case for isolation. Let me define it for you here, and I put it up here on the PowerPoint, and you can read it also. But isolation is a complex and usually unpleasant emotional response to isolation or a lack of companionship. You know, everybody really wants to be happy. It's hard to me to believe that people in life really want to be lonely. People scare people sometimes, however. Isolation demonstrated is found in the book of Psalms 102, verse 6 and 7, where David said, I am like a pelican out of the wilderness. Now get that picture. You've seen pelicans. And he says, I'm a pelican out in the wilderness. He says, I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon a housetop. Have you ever seen a sparrow light on a housetop or a highline wire or somewhere on a bush, and they're all by themselves? That's the way sometimes people picture their lives, or you feel that way in Psalm 22. And we mentioned this particular passage this morning in our Bible class here in the auditorium and in verse 6. But David said, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of all people. Listen again to what he says. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none who help me. You know, one of the great characteristics, and I think it certainly is a great attribute of this congregation, is that we are a people that care for one another, a people that love each other. And to me, that's such a great blessing. It's more important than anything in our lives, I think. But what is the cause for your isolation? You know, some people feel uncomfortable even when they come to worship. Isolation is caused, I think, and I want to share a few of these with you tonight. It's caused by society, believe it or not. Sometimes people say, well, I don't care what people think of me. You know what? That's just not true. Sure, you care about what people think about you. And sometimes you think, well, I just don't fit in. I just don't fit in. And so I'm going to be in isolation. Well, you know what? Instead of panicking over the fact that maybe you don't fit in, maybe God didn't want you to fit in. He wanted you to stand out. And I really believe that. People are often shunned and pushed away because of the color of their skin. We hear that. Sometimes that's a little overworked, I think. Sometimes people are pushed away because of financial status. If someone has a lot of money, maybe they push away the people that they consider to be less than they are. Sometimes people are pushed away or shunned where they live. If they live in a mansion, we accept them. If they live in a shack by the side of the road, they are often shunned. Sometimes certain occupations are the result of people feeling shunned. Now, whether you believe this or not, it's true, and I see it as a preacher of the gospel. People have a way. Now, you know, we come to worship on Sunday morning, and people gather around. We hug each other, and we do all that. But you know what? Out in the world, a lot of people shun preachers. I think people are really afraid. People are afraid of preachers. I don't know what they're afraid of. I don't hit them over the head with a Bible when I walk up to them, but I think sometimes people are a little bit afraid that maybe that's what he's going to do. I was in a barber shop one time, and there was a guy who was sitting in the barber chair, and he started using all kinds of expletives. And the barber said, you know, that fellow over there, he's a preacher. And he looked at me and he said, oh, I'm sorry, preacher, I shouldn't have said that. I said, well, it don't bother me, but why don't you apologize to God? You've been taking God's name in vain. Why don't you apologize to him? But people are afraid sometimes of preachers and maybe the way they made them feel. I've seen preachers sometimes who act so stuffed shirt. And, you know, they felt like they were a little bit better than everybody else. Well, that's a thing that really intimidates people, I think. Their occupation. Sometimes people are shunned and they're pushed away and they become isolationists because maybe they're not as popular as other people. People want to be popular. We push our kids to be popular, don't we? We want our kids to be what we weren't while we were in school. And we try to make them live our lives over. So isolation really is caused by society. But believe it or not, isolation and loneliness is caused many, many times by success. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be successful in life, isn't it? It is. And I encourage people, be a success at whatever you do. I don't care. You may see it as something that is very menial, or you may see it as something that is very great, and it doesn't make any difference what people think about your job and your area of success. Be a success. You know, where would we be without some of the people that we think are unsuccessful? The man that picks up the garbage on your street, he can be very successful at doing that, and some of them are. Audrey one time made a cake for our garbage man. He said he'd never forget it. Sometimes people become such isolationists because of how they perceive other people feeling about them. It's lonely at the top, you know. People always say, well, it's lonely at the bottom, but it's lonely at the top as well, isn't it? Stop and think about that a minute. Sometimes it's worse than hitting rock bottom to be lonely at the top and be broken. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 3 through 11, a good example is King Solomon in the Old Testament. He says, what profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? Good question, isn't it? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun will also arise, and the sun will go down, and hasten to its place where it arose the day before. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. And all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. And unto the place from whence the rivers come, neither do they stay, for they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eyes not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see this new? We always say that, don't we? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Isn't that true? Don't you see that? I mean, how clothing styles, they change. And they make, you know, I've been wearing ties that I wore 40 years ago. People say, boy, I admire your tie. I said, yeah, I bought it 40 years ago. What? It goes around, and it comes back around. Neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come and those that shall come after. Isolation, and why people live in isolation, is often caused not only by society, but by success and by suffering. You know, when you hurt, you don't like to be around people, do you? I don't. I don't want people watching me suffer. I don't. Sometimes people suffer because of persecution. I think about the war that's going on between the Ukraine and Russia and Hamas and the Israelis. And those poor people, those poor innocent people who are dying because of the perpetration of evil on the part of Hamas. There are a lot of Palestinians that are just victims of circumstance, and they've been persecuted. Maybe verbal abuse. People want to be away. They don't like that. Or perhaps maybe when you're sick or when you're dying. I remember one time several years ago, every time I think of that, I'm reminded of something that happened many years ago when I was a young preacher. We had a couple in the congregation. And anyway, the man was near his deathbed, and I had carried one of our deacons with us, and we had gone out to see this man and his wife, and she asked us to go in and have a prayer. And so anyway, this deacon, and by the way, he exhibited a tremendous lack of faith, I think, when we went into the room, and perhaps I shouldn't have done this. But anyway, I looked at him and I said, hey, why don't you lead us in prayer for him? And I'll just say his name. His name wasn't John, but I'll call him John. Why don't you lead us in a prayer for John? And he said, okay, I'll do that. But he caught him off guard and he started praying. He says, Father, we pray that you'll bless John and help him get over this, even though we know he ain't going to. Now, what kind of faith is that? But that's really what he did. And the man on the bed looked up. He had been sleeping. He looked up and opened one eye, you know? I mean, isolation is caused by suffering. There were times when Elijah in the Old Testament felt all by himself. In 1 Kings 18:22, then Elijah said, I alone am a prophet of the Lord, alone, all by myself. Think of 1 Kings 19:10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, and for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I am alone. And they seek my life to take it away. There was a time when the Apostle Paul felt all alone. I guess everybody goes through these moments of melancholy and feeling that they're dejected or that no one's standing with them. Think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. He's before the council. He's before the magistrates. And he said, at my first answer, he's answering for his faith. He said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. What a prayer. He doing what Jesus said we ought to do in Matthew 5:44, to pray for your enemies and those that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Isolation is often caused by sin. King David said, my sin is ever before me. There were times when David wanted to get away to the remote parts of the earth. Think about Solomon and what he said too, and David and others in the Old Testament said, I'd like to fly away and get away, because they wanted to be isolated. Sometimes guilt's pretty heavy, isn't it? And guilt is the very thing that causes us to feel so lonely and isolated. And we cry out unto God. I think of Jacob in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis 28, verse 12 and following. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And that ladder, oddly enough, reached into the heavens, and the angels were walking up and down that ladder, back and forth from earth into heaven. They were descending and ascending. And the Bible says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your grandfather, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest. He said, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. But in Genesis 28 and 15, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places, wherever you go, and will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. But it's not enough to say that people live in isolation and talk about the things that cause it. What's the cure for isolation? Nothing can fill the emptiness of your heart except God. He is the only one who can. And God's presence can bring forgiveness to our sinfulness. It can bring fulfillment to our emptiness within, and courage to our fearfulness, healing to our brokenness, freedom to our bitterness, and encouragement for our isolation. You know, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And we will always be withdrawn without God, His Son Jesus, and the Spirit of God. The void in your life tonight just might be God. Just may be. You know, you come to worship sometimes, but do you really have Him in your life? Is He really controlling you, your actions and what you do, your words? Faith in God changes everything. God can take away your feelings of isolation by faith that leads you to trust and obey Him, Proverbs 3 and verse 6. But Jesus just may be the puzzle piece that's missing. You've been searching for it for a long, long time. You've been looking for it. You don't like the way you are. You want to change, but you feel powerless to change. I'm here tonight to tell you that God can help you change. He can help you embrace the things that He wants you to embrace. And God's plan of salvation is so simple, even young children comprehend it. We gave it to you this morning. We told you how one is to be saved. God didn't mince words, nor do I. I tell you precisely what God says, and it is understandable. And you don't have to live with questions anymore about your life, about who you are, nor whose you are. Would you let Him have His way with you tonight to take away your feelings of isolation as you surrender to Him? He that would come to me, Jesus said in John the 6th chapter, I will in no wise cast out. But it comes to a new birth. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus in the book of John 3, verse 3 through 5. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot, listen to that, cannot see the kingdom of God. One thing that's so comforting to me is the fact that God understands our feelings. You know, I used to tell people sometimes when I had certain feelings, don't feel that way. Don't feel that way. Did you know that God never told him, and I'm serious in telling you, you should go through the Word of God and you find it and show it to me, I'll believe it. But God never told anyone, don't feel that way. Because we all have feelings and we all have emotions. We can get beyond those by redirecting our feelings and our emotions. We can do that. But the answer is not telling somebody, just get beyond those feelings. Or I don't know why you feel that way. If you'll come to him, that's Jesus, he will restore the joy of your salvation. He still can do it. As I told you this morning, he is the great I am, not the great I was. The great I am. I lean upon him daily. Would you trust and obey him? You know, there are two things with which you're confronted tonight. The world or the cross. And the one you follow will well determine where you'll be when eternity comes to the realization of all of us. We can be alive in New Testament baptism, having become dead to sin. And you're welcomed into a commonwealth of great believers in Jesus. There's nothing sweeter than that to me. And if we keep going, we'll get there. We'll get there. So tonight, if you're not a Christian and you want to obey the gospel, then we stand ready and willing to lead you in that step and to follow that great plan of God that takes us away from the loneliness. God's given us a pattern. He tells us how to do it. I'm not going to tell you don't feel that way, but I'm telling you that God can redirect your feelings tonight while we stand and while we sing.